I like that that last actual song before the benediction there. Life is a gift and the giver is good, which is good because we're going to talk about giving tonight. So that's Holy Spirit at work. So we're going to talk about the spiritual gift of giving. We've been talking about the motivational gifts in Romans 12. And I got this one, and I think next week Rachel is talking about prophecy, so that's a good one to come for. So you should be here next week too. But we're going to talk about giving tonight. But I'm going to start with giving as a concept as a whole, and then we'll talk a little bit more about what it looks like as a spiritual gift. So quick question, just for my own benefit. How many of you actually grew up in church proper? Few of you. Like in churches going every Sunday, whether you thought you were supposed to go or because your parents made you go. I was one of those. So if you did, or at least if you've been around church culture for any sort of amount of time, you may have experienced something along the lines of the following scenario, or you might remember hearing your parents talk about something. So picture it. Middle America, circa 1980-something or earlier. It's Giving Sunday, right? And so today we're going to talk about and unveil the plans and things that we feel the Lord is leading us to step into what we wanted to be a part of as our congregation over the following year. There's a well-thought-out presentation. There's a lovely speech by a very charismatic person who is going through. And they're going to tug on the heartstrings, and they're going to ply you with a bunch of stuff to awaken the spiritual call of your life. And then they're going to give you a nice graphic, which I don't have one of, that has a budget plan. And it has all the budget, and they basically want you to pledge for how much you are going to give to be part of the budget for the next few years, for the next few months. They want you to make a commitment for that, which is not a bad thing, right? We should want to give, right? But the idea is that something that should be done out of a desire to give to the Lord because you are being called to do so by the Spirit becomes a chore and becomes something that is an obligation and becomes something that is then held over your head 3 months later when all of a sudden there's, hey, we're not exactly getting the numbers you said you were going to give. And, you know, that's not what we're going to talk about. But the idea being is that something that is supposed to be one of the foundational parts of who we are in Jesus becomes a horrid task that we have to fulfill. And becomes this thing where I'm just going to do it so nobody talks to me about it. And it's like, or if I know, oh, next week they're going to talk about money, I'm going to have something to do next week, you know, so that I don't have to go and hear about that. Right. And, of course, I could be exaggerating a bit, but I don't know, those of you who did grow up in church, do you remember something similar to that happening? You know, there are real needs, though. I mean, Church on the Rock, just as an example, has a roof that needs to be repaired. That is a legitimate need that, you know, they would like for the people who are part of the church to be willing to give a little bit extra to or to, I get that. But if that's every time you're supposed to give just becomes a, like, you must do this out of your obligation, you're missing the point altogether. You know, it's the sort of thing that's made in an effort to encourage people to give a little more, right? Televangelists in the late 70s and early 80s had similar things. If you remember Jimmy Swaggart or Jim Baker or any of the number of people that are currently on TV who do similar things, they have a message that they would like you to do. They have all kinds of less than honest things that they utilize to try to get you to give to their cause, which is their own personal wealth redistribution to themselves. That produces a lot of really interesting things, in my opinion. It produces great punk bands like Bad Religion, who basically have made an entire career out of poking holes in people who want to be part of religion. Intellectual criticism, societal judgment, and honestly, people who are really just trying to legitimately follow Christ having to work twice as hard to present the message and the actual gospel. It all misses the point of what it means to have a heart of giving. It is actually one of the foundational parts of our life as a Christian. If you were following, giving is part of that. That is actually part of what Jesus gave us as a whole. I can honestly say that the Holy Spirit has to do that work in me because I can say that before Jesus, I may have been motivated to give to a need, but the ulterior motive was always selfish. The ulterior motive was always something along the lines, oh, well, people will think I'm really nice if I do this, or that will impress this person over here if I give to that. Or it'll be like Christmas time for some people. I'm going to give you a gift because I know that you'll give me one back. That's not giving, you know. And if you're giving to somebody in the hopes of something being reciprocated, that's not giving, that's business. You know, that basically offering something for that. When the Spirit is actually guiding, giving is an act of worship. Your giving is an act of worship to the Lord. It's an extension of adoration and praise to the Lord for the blessings that he has provided in our lives. It's not just about giving of the physical stuff either. It's about giving my time. It's about giving my energy. It's about giving my natural talents to something. We can all agree that God has absolutely zero need for our physical stuff, right? God doesn't need anything that we actually have because he's already given it to us. And you can see, actually says in Psalm 50, which I'm actually going to go to that because I like that passage. Psalm 50, if this works for me now. All right, starting in verse, so Psalm 50, starting in verse 7, says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and it's in all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you, for you shall glorify me." Basically, God's been saying, it's like, everything out there is already mine, right? And if I were actually hungry, if God were to hunger, he wouldn't have to come before us to tell us about it because he could just take something that's already his to fulfill that need. Which is to say, the point is God is not looking for, even telling the Israelites this at this point through the psalmist, is that I don't need your sacrificial animal to survive. I don't need you to sacrifice something for me to get something. What I'm looking for is your heart and the obedience therein to do what's asked of you, and to do it not just out of, you know, out of a obligation, but to do it because you are actually wanting out of the overflow of your heart to give back to me. So at the most basic level, then, giving is a heart issue for us. In the life of every believer, the Lord stirs us to align our hearts to his purposes and promises us that his way is good. In Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Oops. And it says, okay, so Malachi 3, starting verse 8, says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." And it's basically saying that you are, by not giving to me, you are really hurting yourselves in that part. And he's saying, see if this is true. If you give to me in the manner I've asked out of this, see if I do not actually bless you in the same manner, and even more so on top of that, in those things. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and Jesus speaking, saying, you know, the measure that you use, I'm going to paraphrase, the measure that you use will be used back for you. So what you give, you will receive in the same manner. So if you are giving But you're giving, think of it, the difference between a teaspoon and a shovel. If you're giving a teaspoonful, you'll get a teaspoonful back. If you're giving by the shovel load, then the same measure comes back to you. All right? And that is actually something that goes for area. It's a big deal when we really think about it. Our ability to truly step out and be a benefit to our community hinges upon our willingness to put in the work into centering our lives and hearts in the simplicity of the posture of giving as one of the core blocks in the foundations of our faith. Giving is not just a nice thing that we do. That generous spirit is one of the things that helps us continually add to that foundation and actually build to being a benefit to ourselves, to each other, to our community as a whole. All right? And so how does that all tie into the motivational gift, right? It's a framework of context. I know that it's been a joke, and I've even said it jokingly here and there. It's like, you know, oh, well, I don't have that spiritual gift, so it's okay that I don't give, right? That's 100% not true. You know, it's not, you know, yes, there is a spiritual gift of giving, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but everybody is called to give. That is part of who we are. But God also doesn't just want you to give, like I said, out of obligation. If you feel like you have to give, then I, you know, my advice and my thought, because I've done it for myself, is that take some time and pray and talk to God about why you feel that way. Because he, like I said, he doesn't need it. He has absolutely no use for our money, whether it's in dollars, euros, pounds, yen, Bitcoin, whatever. He has no need for any of it. All right. The point is that are you willing to give me what you have to help, you know, benefit the kingdom, and will you trust me that I can, that I will take care of you? I think it was actually Neil one time when he, and several years ago now, talked about the idea. It's like, you know, you can't receive from God with a closed fist. You know, if I've got my fist closed around the dollars that I made, and I worked hard, and, you know, and I spent time to earn that money, and it's something that I did, and I earned it. But if I'm sitting there holding it tightly in my fist because I don't want to let it go, I also can't receive anything in this hand because it's closed. And it's what will God, you know, are you willing to let go and see what God will do with it? And wonderful things can happen. All right. So as we mentioned, and, you know, and as we mentioned in previous weeks, all of the motivational gifts that we've discussed up to this point, and we talk about prophecy next week, all of those things are foundational ideas in our faith. We're called to emulate all of them in varying degrees as we work to emulate Christ with our lives. The Spirit has graced us, though, with a special grace for one of those things. It might manifest in multiple ways. So I might have a motivation of giving, and then it manifests in multiple other ways. I have a gift of service or a gift of teaching. I'm still trying to figure out which one my core specifically one is. I can honestly say that I don't feel that it's giving, not because I don't give or don't feel like I should give, but I don't necessarily feel the way that, and I'm sure Chris will talk about this more Bible study this week, so plug, come on Wednesday. All right. So it might manifest in multiple ways. Our core motivation, though, is found in one of those gifts mentioned in Romans as a way for the entire body to meet its collective need through individual members working in concert with one another. The framework that we've just been discussing for giving has been from the perspective of every believer, so that, you know, that we understand, yes, we are all called to give. And we're called to give in a way out of the overflow of our heart to him in an act of worship. And something that's mentioned six times throughout Scripture, specifically, give thanks to the Lord. Specifically, God says something once, hey, that's pretty, you know, pretty cool. Actually, literally six times, give thanks to the Lord is one of the biggest things that you can do as far as an act of giving, is turning your heart in a posture of gratitude and thanksgiving to God for the things that he has provided, for the things that we have. That's, you know, and that's where really honestly giving in any measure should start. Give thanks for what you do have. Pray and ask him for what ways that you can give more if he's calling you to do so. All right, so we're all supposed to give. The Spirit has graced some people with that spiritual gift to go above and beyond. Somebody with the spiritual gift of giving is already probably tithing on a regular basis, or they're committed in some fashion to giving to the church on a regular basis as part of their daily life, as part of their monthly commitment, whatever that case may be. And we could talk back and forth about, you know, tithe and whether Chris gave a great message, a couple months ago now, about giving. And I what echoes to me still is that even if you're not sure whether it should be 10% or 5% or more, start with something and be consistent about doing it on a regular basis and see what God does for you and you know, and go from there. I read a really cool story while I was going through all this stuff about a businessman, and I can't remember his name now, but started out and made a commitment to say, well, God, everything that I make, I will give you 10%. And he made, probably in the 40s and 50s, he made a lot of giant, like, earth-moving equipment and really big vehicles. And based on his business, he started giving 10%, and he was successful. And he kept getting more and more, so he upped it to 20% and continued to be successful to the point in the brief blurb that I read, by the end of his life, he was giving 90% of what he made. And he was still, and what he was making was above and beyond what any of us would make in a lifetime. Yeah, they're saying it was somebody in the night. There's somebody else too that was something, but it was. That's just an example of somebody doing that. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's it's cool. You know, and if God calls you to do that, then that's great. But if you can start somewhere, even if you just start small and be consistent every week, which is something that I know that I personally am working on, and being consistent to give the same amount every week or every month, so that I'm consistently getting to I can get to the point where I feel, not even feel, I can get to the point where I'm committing to that thing because I know that it's what God's calling me to. But in Romans, in Romans 12, in verses 6 through 8, when it goes through the gifts, when it talks about giving, it says if giving, give liberally, is when, depending on which version of the which translation of the scripture used. The word liberally is in there, generously, simply. All of those words get together. In the Greek, the word used is metadidomi. Which means to give or to impart. Specifically, it actually literally just means to give something or to impart something to someone. The modifier after it is haplotes, and I may be butchering that. And that actually can mean sincerity, generosity, bountifulness, liberal, simplicity, singleness. And singleness as in single-mindedness. And together, it basically means that the motivation is simple generosity. Basically, to use liberally, which means to apply, you know, at will, a lot. The word liberal kind of gets tossed around for a whole bunch of different things these days, but the actual, to give a lot of, without pretense or hypocrisy. And I think that is kind of a big modifier. And then the idea of somebody with this spiritual gift is that they're not only giving, they're giving in such a way that they're meeting needs that are maybe not even be obvious to anybody, but God's called them to give, and they give to the need, and it's somebody actually, this is exactly what I needed, and I didn't know that anybody would know that because I didn't tell anybody, you know? God calls people, and not only are they people who just give of their resources or their time, they don't just do it because they have a lot. They find ways to give in the resources that they have available to them. You can look, you know, in Mark chapter 12, when Jesus talks about the woman with the two mites. You know, they give, and the Pharisee comes up and throws in and makes a big deal. The woman comes up with the two copper coins, basically everything that she owns in her entire life, you know, and that's the example of giving for all of us, really. It's just to give, you know. The one person gave out of surplus, the woman gave everything she had, you know, which one is the better example of what Jesus is calling us to? But people who have a spiritual gift of giving also are frugal or thrifty, or they find ways to be a benefit to meet needs by saving, not as much as even just giving, as much as saving at the same time. And I found that to be interesting in reading through some of the different material that I found, was that it was somebody that, you know, that is basically very good at managing resources. And to be able to meet needs that are not apparent or that are not readily known. And again, I think of, like, Alberto and Alicia, you guys got the car, the Aztec, at one point. Somebody gave that to you. That was a need that wasn't necessarily known right out, but somebody was called and did that. Yeah, don't we all?
No, you really haven't.
Yeah. it's a side quest. Oh, I'm sorry to anybody listening to that online, not hearing all of that commentary. But that was a need. That was even somewhat of an unspoken need that was met by somebody who operated in a gift to be able to give in such a way. And it's one of those things where it's kind of where you have to be careful, because people will go somewhere and they'll tell these great stories, these amazing stories of people just giving above and beyond and just going out there without necessarily prefacing the fact that those people might actually be gifted through the Spirit to meet that need in such a way. Somebody else might get really fired up and they're going to go, I'm going to give all of my money that I have right now for this month. And then a week and a half later, all of their bills come due and they have no money. And it was like, well, you did give and God will be faithful, but you maybe gave with not exactly the same motivation of someone. You might have been motivated by, if I do this, I know that I'll get this much back all the time. Maybe? Not, maybe not. I mean, the idea is that motivation is important. The motivation of your heart in giving like that needs to be kind of weighed a little bit. If the Spirit is calling you to do it, you should do it. You know, if you can really feel like, literally, this is God leading me to do this, then you should do it, because a missed opportunity sucks a lot worse than, you know, than that. All right, some other examples that I feel were in Genesis, at Joseph. Even though he had several other gifts that he exhibited as part of this, one of the things that he did was be able to manage resources to meet the needs of a famine. You know, he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream, absolutely, and that was cool. You know, but he also had the practical application and the ability to go, hey, I know what we can do, you know, and that was the Spirit moving in his life to be able to meet that need at that time. So not only could it be a surplus and a blessing to the Egyptian people, but it ended up being a blessing to the tribes of Israel, or the Israelites under, you know, at that point, coming in, the family of Israel, coming in to Egypt to be able to be prosperous at that point. Matthew, as the writer of the gospel, probably has a little bit of this too. I mean, he was also technically a tax collector, so he was not exactly well liked by all of his friends either for a little while. But in the details, in some of the details in his gospel, it kind of lends itself to the idea that he might have. He's the only one that mentions the treasure of the Magi as a detail for that. He mentions that the ointment for Mary was precious, the one that was given. He makes mention of the fact that Jesus' tomb, or the tomb that he was laid in, was new, which is a detail that's important, because it also goes with some other things. But it's something that somebody who actually has an eye for detail and things for finances might have noticed. I kind of think that Judas even has that, but as an example from the opposite side, because he had the ability to recognize that, hey, that ointment costs a lot of money, and it could have been given to the poor, but he wasn't necessarily thinking about the fact that the poor would benefit. He was a thief, and probably took from the money bag more often than not, because he kept it. So that could be an example of a gift that's being operated on in the flesh instead of in the spirit. In that point, so I kind of from this point. With a spiritual gift like this, in that regard, I struggle with giving as a whole. So knowing what's an actual gift, is tough for me, because I just want to make sure that I'm keeping my heart in check and giving out of an obedience and giving out of the idea that I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do, sure, but also because I want to make sure that my act of worship is happening in the right way. I'm not just getting to the point where, oh, I just gave it to you because I knew you'd be mad at me if I didn't. No. But I also think that, you know, someone who's operating in this as a gift, that doesn't necessarily happen to them regularly. I wouldn't say that it never happens to them, because we all can be tempted and we all can, you know, fall into something that we're not supposed to be part of. But I think that somebody who's operating in a gift and who are mature in operating in said gift, they don't even might not even necessarily always notice they're doing it. They just know, hey, there's a need and I can do something about that. And they do it. And they don't do it in such a way that people will notice that they did it. You know what I mean? And that was something in a lot of the other things that I read throughout this, was the idea of giving and giving in such a way that it's secretive, or that it's, you know, not without fanfare, not without somebody walking in, which is one of the other things with the message about the Pharisee and the woman with the two coins. The Pharisee does it so that everybody can see, look at me, look at all the money I just put in the box. Isn't this wonderful? You know, same for the person who prays loudly in the streets so that everybody notices, oh, look at me. A person operating in a gift of giving is not concerned with what with anybody ever seeing they did it. They get the pleasure and the joy of actually meeting the need in a way that just brings the person up and out. It brings the people or the need. It just really meets that. And they could go, or they could never be celebrated for any of it at all, and it would be fine with them. And in fact, they're probably looking to actively avoid that. And I think that what's interesting is that there have probably been several people throughout history who have been wanted to be specifically missionaries, or they wanted to be ministers in such, you know, in a high-profile way, and it didn't happen. But God still called them to be givers, and they ended up supporting missionaries in the field in such a way that there was a whole group of people that were able to share Jesus in a way that they never would have been able to without God calling that person to support them in such a way. So I guess I'm going to end there, because I don't have a lot else for this tonight. And because I think that it's really, giving shouldn't be complicated, right? It shouldn't be. I mean, we complicate it a lot. We try to get out of it a lot, I think, in some cases. But I think if we're looking at it from true generosity, if God is actually giving you a generous spirit, it's going to shine through for you. If I have trouble giving the homeless dude $20 because I just don't want to let it go, that's on me, not on them, right? Because I'm the one who just feels like I just don't want to do it. Then that's something that I need to pray about, because I'm not operating in a spirit of generosity. Does that mean that God wants me to give every homeless guy I see $20? No. But I might have been called to really stop and talk to that person, and I just don't want to do it. Okay, well, I need to go talk to God about why I felt that way then, because it shouldn't be the case. So as we talk about gifts as a whole, like I said, in my first one when we talked a few weeks ago, I don't want people to get hung up on whether you're this or whether you're that. I just want people to be able to see, hey, these things are here. And they all are built on a foundation that they're all pieces of things that should be a part of our life as we're following Jesus. But if as we're going through and you're feeling one of these, say, hey, this is cool, then if you want to talk to one of us about it, that'd be awesome. But I do encourage you to come on Wednesday, because we do get a lot deeper into this stuff for that. And cool. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go eat, I guess. Yes, Deborah. Absolutely.
So there's been only a few times where I've really actually encountered someone who has the gift of giving. And what has always struck me about those few people is that the way they operate in some ways is this absolute certainty, like with the idea that they're blessed to be a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Purpose that God can use them to bless someone.
That's awesome. That's good. All right.